to the altar. Can I tell you the danger of that? You can make folks worse by putting your hands on them about their sin and you ain't got yours right. That's why folk ain't getting no better. That's why folk ain't growing, because we got unlicensed hands. Because you can't tell nobody about a God you ain't trust enough to confess sin. 1 John says, 1 John chapter 1, check it out when you got time. He said, if you so say you ain't got no sin, you fooling yourself. He really saying you're lying, but I'm going to try to be nice. He said, you're fooling yourself to say you have no sin. Because, y'all, what did Jesus die for then? If you don't have any sin, he shouldn't even die. Oh, I don't do that. I'm so glad I don't do that. I'm so glad I don't drink. I'm so glad I don't smoke. I'm so glad I don't fornicate. I'm so glad I don't hip or tip. I'm so glad I don't do that. I dare you take inventory of what you do. I love how we like to weigh sins. Yours weigh more than mine, so I, you know. And cause some of this pride, this arrogance, this hate that you holding, that envy and malice and jealousy that you got in your heart. That's why you harp on people so much, certain ones, because you're really jealous. And that's sin. You're really envious of them. That's why you keep looking at them to find something wrong. Because how you see them is really not how you see them, it's how you see yourself. Internal stuff is just as bad as stuff as external. Boy, I done lost my whole crowd. Because I'm trying to cover it up. Look what David says happened. Here, remember, I said it's consequences of a cover up, right? Got your Bible? When I kept silent, my bones waxed old. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some physical manifestations of not confessing sin. I'm not making this up. My bones waxed cold. I got the feeling bad, and the doctor can't find out what's wrong. Can't even get it diagnosed, but you know what you feel. Have you ever tried getting stuff right with God first?
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1.
I've tried everything that I could in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
highest praise. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Certainly that's what we've come to do on today. We worship God simply because of who he is. We praise him for what he's done. If he hadn't done anything for you, then you don't have a reason to give him praise. But if you know that he's been good, you ought to be able to find a praise somewhere in your heart. Come on, where are my folk who know he's worthy to be praised? Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. If you have your Bibles this morning, we want to call your attention to the book of Matthew. Chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Then Jesus, pardon me, I want to read it from the New International Version. Amen. The New International Version reads this way. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Amen. As you take your seats on this Sunday morning, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject: what to do when God puts you on hold. Amen. What to do when God puts you on hold. Thank you, ushers. Over the years, I have become a lover of modern day technology. My old house, amen, it's an old house, but I have it fully automated. I can say in one room, "Alexa, turn on the living room lights," and the living room lights will come on. I can say, "Alexa, ask Ford Pass to start the car," and my car will start without touching anything. Amen. I can say, "Alexa, play Hallelujah 95.5 out of Jackson, Mississippi," on all devices, and every Alexa device in my house will play 95.5 Hallelujah. That's a good station if y'all looking for a good gospel station. Amen. I'm fascinated by gadgets and conveniences that modern day technology offers. However, I'm often frustrated when it comes to interactive voice response systems, or shall I say automated phone systems. If you want English, press 1. If you would like the company directory, press 2. If you know your partner's extension, press 3. Sounds like some of y'all have been there. If you like to speak to the operator, just stay on the line. And when you finally make your selection, you're placed on hold. My brothers and sisters, it's frustrating to go through all that punching and switching only to be placed on hold. Hold means you're going nowhere. When you're on hold, you're making no progress. Even if there's music in the background, you're still stuck in the same situation. Well, I've come to discover that sometimes our prayer life or our Christian journey can best be described as being placed on hold. Oftentimes, you and I pray without ceasing. We make our request known unto God, and it seems as if God has placed us on hold. Though we pray and seek God's face, oftentimes it seems that God is slow in responding. What do you do when you have to wait on God? It's easy to say wait on the Lord when you don't have anything pressing to wait on God for. It's easy to say wait on the Lord and be of good courage when you're already encouraged. But every now and then, in the midst of all of our prayers and supplications, God puts us on hold. What do you do when God places your life on hold? Brother Smith, I hate to call you out this morning, but I can't help but think about the many months that you've struggled with your sickness, going from doctor to doctor, with one doctor telling you one thing, another doctor telling you something else, surgery after surgery, treatment after treatment. Amen. You've been through it, my brother. But when I look at you sitting on this front row this Sunday morning, after having lost so much weight that we couldn't hardly recognize you, but now I can tell Sister Smith has been putting some good old New Iberia food on the table, and you're looking healthy this morning. I would venture to say we could ask Brother Smith, what do you do when God puts your life on hold? Is there anybody else here this Sunday morning who can testify, Pastor, I know what you're talking about when you talk about having your life put on hold? Today's text introduces us to a woman whom Jesus, if you will, puts on hold. Matthew records for his readers that Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus sought a place where he and his disciples could get away from the pressing crowds and prepare for his impending crucifixion. It's interesting to note that Jesus found his rest on the borders of enemy territory. It's interesting to note that he finds rest, amen, in the Gentile territory. Some of y'all missing it, but there are two or three folk in here who've come to find out that sometimes the folk you go to for rest, your family and your friends, sometimes the folk that you think you can count on when you find yourself in trouble and you need a little help, you discover, amen, that sometimes strangers are better to you than the folk you call your friends. Do I have any witnesses in here today? Matthew goes on to tell us that Jesus met a Canaanite woman. She approached Jesus in a desperate situation. This Canaanite woman had a daughter who was suffering from demon possession. This woman cried out to Jesus to have mercy on her. And in verse 23, Jesus does something that is significant and unusual for him. The Bible says he spoke not a word. After hearing of this woman's devastation, it seems as if Jesus could have said something. Am I by myself? It just seems that he could have said something. He could have said, be healed. He could have said, be made whole. He could have said, be encouraged. He could have said, hang on in there. He could have said, you're going to be all right. But instead, the Bible says he spoke not a word. In other words, my brothers and sisters, he put her on hold. Some would say that Christ was being harsh or insensitive. Why wouldn't Christ say something? Notice, if you will, in verse 22, this Canaanite woman cried out, Lord, Son of David. It has been suggested by some theologians that she addressed him in that way because she had an understanding of who he was. It seems to me that she must have heard that the Jews were expecting and they were waiting on a Messiah. Amen. A son of the great King David. She, like the Jews, was looking for a miracle worker. She had no doubt heard that Jesus had walked on water. She had no doubt heard that he healed many sick folk, that he rescued folk, that he opened blinded eyes. Amen. And she believed that the way you ought to believe that, Lord, if you did it before, you can do it again. Come on, come on, come on. That's somebody's breakthrough right there. Somebody came in here this morning defeated and depressed, wondering how you were going to make it. And I haven't even really gotten to my points yet. But here's a point where you ought to be shouting already. Amen. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Now, I don't know like you know what the Lord has done before in your life, but maybe you need to just take a moment and reflect on some of the battles you've had to fight. Maybe you need to take a moment and reflect on some of the times you've been in the hospital, the times you've been sick, the times relationships didn't work the way you thought they ought to work, but you're here this Sunday morning as a survivor, and you ought to shout knowing that if he did it before, he can do it again. Nothing wrong with her way of thinking. Amen. Perhaps Jesus wanted this woman to see him as more than just a healer. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad he's a healer. But is there anybody here who knows he's more than a healer? Amen. Amen. I could call the roll as far as what he's been able to do in my life. He's been a financial expert. He's been a doctor. He's been a mechanic. He's been a air conditioned repairman. He's been a bridge over troubled waters. He's been a way out of no way. Come on, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for, I can't help but give him praise, give him praise. In this place. What I'm really trying to tell y'all is that many times we keep Jesus from working in our lives because we box him in to what we know about him. But sometimes, y'all, what God is trying to do is take us to a new level of understanding about who he is, about what he's able to do. We many times really don't, we ain't interested in going to another level. God, we just want you to fix this level. Amen. But God is trying to take you higher. God is trying to promote you. God is trying to elevate you. And so what you're going through right now may just be God's way of moving you to another level. We just want out of, amen, the level that we're in. Amen. But God really wants to bless us in ways that we've never known. God puts us on hold until we can grow up in the situation we're in. I'm discovering that some situations we find ourselves in are not intended for immediate deliverance. There are times when God says you've got to grow before you can go. Your next level isn't coming until you clean up the mess you're in on the level that you're on. The problem is we've seen what God has done for others, and we want him to do the same thing for us without knowing what, amen, God is doing in the life of that other person. You just don't know what God is trying to do in their life. And so you can't look at somebody else and conclude that because God ain't doing for me what he did for them, that he's somehow treating me unfairly. Amen. Maybe God realizes that I need to stay on this level a little longer because I haven't learned the lessons that I need to learn on this level. And if he moves me to another level without me having learned the lessons that I need on this level, I will mess the next level up. I wish I had somebody up in here who could look back over your life and say, God, I thank you for everything I've been through, every storm, every battle, every lie that's been told on me, every time I've been talked about and mistreated, because what my enemies didn't realize is that they were preparing me for another level. What my enemies didn't realize is that the talk they used to talk about me on the last level don't even bother me on this new level. I'm getting happy all by myself. You ought to thank God today for how he works in your life. God hears what we desire, but he knows what we need. I said, my brother, my sister, God heard your prayer. He heard what you asked for. He heard you say you want God bless me with more money on my job, bless me with this. And if the truth would be told, amen, if he would speak a word, the word he would speak is you haven't tithed on that level of your salary. Why would I bless you with a raise? I'm in Bible country. If you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you rulers over much. Now, you may not like what I said, but at least clap because it is in the word. Amen. He hears what we desire, but he knows what we need. Sometimes we don't need what we're praying for. There are at least two reasons we don't need what we're praying for. Either we're not praying according to his will, or God knows that we can't handle it if he gave it to us. And when God puts you on hold, you must continue trusting. The average one of us, after pouring out our hearts, would have walked away. But this woman did just the opposite. Even after the disciples came forward and said, let's send her away. And I really have I have something against what they said. They said because she cried after us. Amen. No, she was crying after Jesus. But you know how some folk want to always put themselves in the mix. Yeah, she cried after us. Amen. Amen. No. She was crying after Jesus. But even after the disciples had the nerve, they had the unmitigated gall to say, Jesus, let's send her away because she ain't one of us. Amen. The Bible says she did not walk away. She kept on trusting because she believed that eventually Jesus was going to speak a word into her life. That's a message for somebody here this morning who has thought about giving up. You've thought about throwing in the towel. My brother, my sister, Pastor Garner wants to encourage you to not throw in the towel. Amen. Just keep on trusting. Keep on believing. He may not come when you want him, but he will show up on time. Give him praise in this place. Keep on doing what you know is right. Keep on attending Bible study. Keep on bringing your tithes and your offerings. And don't stop coming to church. I don't hang up just because God doesn't come right away. Remember, you're not the only one going through what you're going through. See, that's one of the tricks of the devil. The devil will try to make you feel like, oh, look at you. You've been going to church. You've been tithing, amen. You've been going to Bible study and all of that. But look at you. You're going through hell and high water. And look at your neighbors. They don't even go to church. They don't even go to prayer. They don't even pray. But look at them driving a new car, adding on to their house. Amen. It looks like they're being blessed. Amen. But I have come by to tell you today, my brother and my sister, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let the devil fool you into believing you're the only one. You're not the only one, nor are you the first one. One day God put Job on hold. I need my Bible readers right through here. But a few days later, God eventually spoke. And when you continue trusting, this simply means you take things out of your hands and you place them in God's hands. Is there anybody who knows that things begin to happen when they're in the master's hand? Everything was placed in his hands. Amen. When he fed the 5,000, not counting the women and children. And the Bible says they had 12 baskets left over. Where did the miracle take place? It took place in his hands. The wine ran out, and Jesus turned ordinary water into extraordinary wine. Where did the miracle take place? It took place in his hands. What are you willing to put in his hands? I dare you. I double dare you. Put your life in his hands. Put your children in his hands. Put your job in his hands. Put your finances. finances in his hand. And is there anybody who knows that he will work it out? He will make a way. He will open doors. He will heal your body. He will save your children. He will rescue your bank account. He will make a way out of no way. Give him praise in this place. I heard somebody say that you can't have a testimony unless you've had a test. And I learned in the Vernon Parish school system, amen, that before the teachers give you a test, they always give you instruction. Oh my. They're not gonna test you on anything that you haven't been taught about. Do I have a witness today? And I figured out that our God is the same way. And so, if you find yourself being tested, Pastor Garner has come by to encourage you to look back on what you've been taught. And so, when the test comes, I dare you to call up some of the stuff that you've been taught. You ought to be able to call up weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When testing time comes, you ought to be able to call up, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so if you're in the test right now, I double dare you to remember what you've been taught in the Word. Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy in the